Reincarnation and the Bible.
Reincarnation is the belief that the souls of the dead successively return to the earth as other human beings, that we all have lived as human beings before this present life, possibly many times. Transmigration of souls is the belief that one can come back as a lower animal, if one is bad, or as a more intellectual human being, if one has been good. Jointly, these two beliefs, reincarnation and the transmigration of souls, are held by more people in the world than any other theory concerning life after death. The Eastern countries, for the most part, hold this opinion. Of course, they make no profession of accepting the Bible, nor accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. The theory, however, of reincarnation is growing in acceptance in the Western world, and this is a cause for concern, because we claim to accept the Bible, and we claim to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. The fictional novel, The Search for Bridie Murphy, has stimulated thought along the line of reincarnation. At this time, I have no intention to review the novel. My topic is reincarnation and the Bible, and so I will try to tell you why I do not accept the idea of reincarnation nor the transmigration of souls. Reincarnation is a theory. Any theory is reasonable in the minds of those who accept it. Any theory may appear to be nonsense in the minds of those who do not accept it. Simply to say reincarnation of souls from one human to another, or the transmigration of souls from man to animal, or from animal to man is nonsense, proves nothing to the one who thinks that it is not nonsense. We accept the Bible as the Word of God. We know the Bible contains the truth of God. What does the Bible teach? We are here to examine its testimony. After we have heard evidence, we can decide as to what is truth. For after all, we are not interested in theory. Both you and I want to know the truth of God's Word, because we know that God will not change His plans to fit into our beliefs. Wisdom tells us that if we bring our convictions into line with the Word of God, we will have the truth. Personally, I do not believe in reincarnation nor in the transmigration of soul. To me, these are basic errors. To me, they are pagan, they are heathenish beliefs. Well, you may say, then you believe that the theory which is held by more than 75% of the world's population is merely human philosophy. No, I do not believe that. I believe it is worse than that. I believe it is more subtle than that. I believe it is not human philosophy at all, that it is satanic philosophy. Let me tell you why I am so definite in this point. In order to do this, we will have to regress, if you like that word, back to Genesis, back to the Garden of Eden. Here God set forth certain laws and said to Adam, as recorded in Genesis, the 2nd chapter and the 7th verse, "If you obey these laws, you will live. But if you disobey these laws, thou shalt surely die." It would seem that a plain statement like that should be easily understood. The absence of life is death. That sounds reasonable to some. However, very few people believe that that is true. Possibly some of you who are listening to this tape recording do not believe that the absence of life is death, because most people believe that a person doesn't die at the time that he dies, that he only appears to die, but actually he passes through a door, they say, to another life. But God didn't say to Adam, if you disobey, you will pass through a door into another life. God did not say to Adam, if you disobey, you will be more alive than ever when you die, did he? He said, thou shalt surely die. And the Bible corroborates that testimony in many places. For in the Bible we read, the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. And in another place, do with thy might what thy hands find to do, for there is neither knowledge, wisdom, work, nor device in death whither thou goest. Then where does the theory that man doesn't die when he dies come from? Let me read Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to read the first 5 verses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know, the text says, ye shall not surely die. Now, this text of Scripture, put in a very plain language, means that the devil accuses God of being a liar. And here is where the theory of reincarnation was born. Here is where the theory that when one dies, he is more alive than ever, was born. Here is where and when the theory of the immortality of the soul was born. And here is where you and I have to make a decision. If we want to walk in the truth, we have to decide who we are going to believe. God said, thou shalt surely die. The devil said, thou shalt not surely die. Now, what do you say? Who told the truth, God or the devil? Answer that question, and you have answered the question about the reincarnation. For if man is dead, certainly he can't come back to inhabit another body. Answer that question, and you have answered the question about the transmigration of soul. For if a man is dead, he can't come back as a rat, or as a skunk, or as any other kind of an animal. And answer that question, and you have also answered the question about hell and purgatory. Because if a man is dead, he can't go to a place of fiery torment. Our Master knew about this experience in Eden, and our Master knew who it was that had told the lie and who it was that had told the truth. I want you to listen to John, the 8th chapter, and the 43rd through the 45th verses, as I read these verses. Our Master is speaking. He is speaking to the Pharisees, to those who believed in the immortality of the soul. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. One can never know the truth by believing error, and the Master here makes a very truthful statement when he says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. There is no greater mental block to truth than the belief of error. But someone is bound to say, surely the Bible teaches immortality. And answering that question, I say, yes, it does. But the Bible does not teach immortality of the soul. Well, you say, what is the difference? Well, just this. Inherent immortality of the soul means that everyone has an immortal soul and therefore cannot die, and when he seems to die, he actually only passes through a door into another life, actually becomes more alive than ever. But immortality, as taught in the Bible, is something else. It is the truth that immortality, life within itself, is a reward given to some because of their effort and faithfulness and their belief in the gospel. Look, the Bible teaches the resurrection of the dead, doesn't it? Everyone knows that. Then the Bible can't teach the immortality of the soul, because if one is not dead, then how can they be raised from the dead? The Mohammedans and the Buddhists and the others who believe in reincarnation are more consistent than some in Christendom. They believe in reincarnation, they believe in the immortality of the soul, and do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, because they say the dead aren't dead, then how can they be raised from the dead? But some in Christendom try to bring these diametrical statements into parallel, and that is impossible. The Bible is God's word, and therefore it is consistent. As we learned, the Bible teaches that God said, thou shalt surely die. And the Bible also teaches salvation through Christ, and the benefits of salvation through the resurrection of the dead. One cannot believe in reincarnation and the resurrection of the dead at the same time. We believe that future life is dependent not upon the immortality of the soul, but that future life is dependent upon Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, that future life is dependent upon the resurrection of the dead. The Bible teaches Christ brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Speaking of Christians in Romans 2:7, the apostle says, by patient continuance in well-doing, we seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. Immortality, therefore, is not inherent. It is something to be sought. Reincarnation and immortality of the soul do not depend upon Christ for life after death. But Romans, the 6th chapter and the 23rd verse, says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, the resurrection of the dead is the life after death that the Bible teaches. And it depends upon Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. By man came death, the apostle says. By man also the resurrection of the dead. Now that is a very important point, because the Christian belief of the resurrection of the dead is the Christian's hope of life through Jesus Christ. Does this Bible truth of salvation and resurrection overlook the phenomena of Bridey Murphy, of hypnotism, of talking with the dead, of these other strange and uncommon things that we hear about these days? Of course, we know that there is some fraud in all of them, but we also know that there is something that smacks of the supernatural also in many of this phenomena. And in answering that question, I say that the Bible does not overlook any of this phenomena. The explanation which the Bible gives is consistent throughout. It is that angels are not people who have lived on earth and died and went to heaven, as some people believe. Angels existed long before man was ever created. We know that, because the Bible says in Job 38 and 7, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, the foundations of the earth were laid. Therefore, they were there when the foundations of the earth were laid. When they were created, all of them were good. But now, some are good and some are bad, because some of them have joined with Satan to keep alive the lie, thou shalt not surely die. When the Master spoke of the devil and his angels, he was referring to these. Genesis, the 6th chapter, speaks of the deflection of these angels to the camp of Satan. The Epistle of Jude tells of the angels which kept not their first estate but sin. And the Apostle Peter speaks of them as being disobedient in the days of Noah. Having existed in the spiritual realm throughout the time of human life upon this earth, naturally they are able to impersonate the dead, to pretend to be someone who is asleep in death. They are able to impersonate Bridey Murphy. They are able to impersonate your father or your mother or your child, or anyone else. And if we do not know the truth about death and resurrection, they can be very convincing. That is the Bible explanation of all this phenomena that the devil uses to keep the people thinking that he told the truth when he said, thou shalt not surely die, that you have everlasting life, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or whether you do not. However, the Bible message is clear-cut, and it is the Bible message that we are interested in. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 22nd verse, the Bible says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. One thing is evident, and that is that the all in one case is the same as the all in the other. As in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in the 5th and 6th verses, we read, for there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. This text of Scripture really gives us the price of our salvation, because it was the price that had to be paid to release the world of mankind from Adamic condemnation. As in Adam all die, so it was necessary for Christ to die so that all could be made alive. But not all at the same time. This text of Scripture really started its fulfillment at Pentecost, and it still continues. There is more than one resurrection, as you know. In Revelation, the 20th chapter, in the 6th verse, the Bible says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On him the second death will have no power, but they shall be kings and priests unto God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That, of course, is the first resurrection. It is the resurrection of the church. We have all come in contact with a few examples of the real, truly consecrated Christian type. And these consecrated ones who are faithful unto death are promised the crown of life, or the crowning life of immortality, in the first resurrection. And during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world?" In other words, they shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the 25th and the 26th verses, we are told what will be accomplished during that reign. Because speaking of Christ's reign, it says, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Of course, in order to destroy death, there must be more than the first resurrection. There must be the general resurrection. And in John, the 5th chapter, and from the 25th to the 28th verses, the general resurrection is described. We are told that all that are in their grave shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall come forth, and they that hear shall live. The record is that then Satan will be bound and will be unable to deceive the nations with his lies and with his falsehood. The Bible says that his truth shall sweep away the refuge of lies. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. This will be accomplished, my friends, not by reincarnation, but by the resurrection of the dead. Those who come forth from the sleep of death and the resurrection of the dead will know that in the interim, they have not been more alive than ever. They will know that then. They will see many things that have changed since they went away. What a different world it will be. Think of the last 100 years and what has happened. Think of what has happened even during your lifetime. But they will know that Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. They will know that they weren't in torment. They'll know that they weren't in either hellfire or in purgatory. Won't that be a pleasant surprise for some? They will learn that God is better than the creed. Ruth Simons, for instance, will know that she never had been Bridie Murphy. The Hindu will know that he never did become a butterfly or a hog or something else. The Indian will know he never did get into the happy hunting grounds. The heroes of war will know that they never did get to Valhalla. The Buddhist will know that he never did reach Nirvana. But they will all know that once they were dead, but that now they are alive to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." They will know why our Lord taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven," because then they will know that that kingdom is established by the reign of Christ, and that Christ shall reign until he puts all enemies under his feet, destroying even the last enemy, death. They will know that paradise, lost in Eden by one man's disobedience, will be restored to earth again through the reign of Jesus Christ, and that those who have died will be restored to paradise through the resurrection of the dead. The Bible says, "Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, and I will make the place of my feet glorious." They will know then that death is swallowed up in victory. They will know the full meaning of the angel's song on Bethlehem's hill when the angels sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Glad tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people, for there is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They will compare their pagan theories of immortality of the soul with the truth of salvation through Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And as they make the comparison of the truth with these heathen pagan beliefs, they will say, as the prophet foretold that they would say, "Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him. Lo, this is the God of our salvation. We will be glad and rejoice." And therefore, as we think of the Bible and the message of the Bible, we realize that the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead is the basis for our hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us therefore dispel from our minds and from our hearts those beliefs that have been given to the world by Satan and by his angels. And let us determine, as did the prophet, when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."